not going to read the whole psalm, but I did notice something as you read through this psalm. There, you know, the psalms, a lot of them are thematic. That is, there's a theme. Sometimes it's a psalm asking for deliverance. Sometimes it's a psalm of victory. There are oftentimes themes in these psalms. And it's pointed out also that oftentimes songs were written from the psalms. And they would take the psalms and they would put it to music and they'd dance and play the instruments and they would sing the scriptures. And Psalm 107 is one of those psalms that acts as a reminder. We're going to gather around our tables, and I don't know what you're going to thank God for. There ought to be something you're thankful for. You know, one of the worst things I think in life is the sin of ingratitude. To be blessed to the point beyond measure and yet not be thankful for it. And you know what I mean. You know, you do something, you go out of your way, you do something special for someone, and then they don't express to you thanks for it. That kind of hurts you a little bit, doesn't it? You know, it's as if, well, if they may not give the air of, well, I expect it, but just the fact that they don't acknowledge that you went out of your way to do something, there's something there. You know, and I think of so much that God has done for us, and this is a reminder to the people of God as to what God has done for them. And as you read through this, there's a kind of little pattern that shows up here. And I want to just point this out to you quickly here this morning. The first verse, it starts out, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting." Remember that phrase. "For his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary." I like that verse, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We live in a repressive environment this morning with respect to expressing your Christian faith. But let's go back to Psalm 107:2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Yeah, I think God is calling the church to stand up regardless of whether it's fashionable or not. You need to let people know who you are. If someone were asked, what is a Christian like, one of the greatest compliments to you would be, well, he's like that person, I point to you. That's a Christian. I wonder if you've ever been singled out as an example of a Christian. You know, sometimes they mock and make fun or whatever, but they ought to know what you stand for. You know. So it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary." You move down through this, and then you come to verse 5. "They were hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles," and it says, "and he delivered them out of their distresses." Have you ever called out to God and he's delivered you? Well, then it goes on to say in verse 8, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men." There it is. Like, thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Reasons to give thanks. That's what we're reading here. There are reasons why we give thanks to God. And all of us this morning have a reason. And you should have many reasons. But the psalmist is pointing out some of these. Then it goes down and it talks, gives some more information about how God intervened in lives when they were desperate. You get down to verse 13, it says, after he gives all these reasons, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses." And in verse 15, it says again, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men." There it is again. You get this repetitive theme. They list what God has done. And then it says, now give thanks for what? His loving kindness. God loves you. He's kind towards you. And he expresses that because he brings deliverance for you. And you move down. He gives us some more information here. Then down in verse 19, it says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them." I love that verse of scripture. Psalm 107, verse 20. That first part, "He sent his word and healed them." What a great scripture. Healing comes through the word of God. How are they gonna know that there's a Savior unless somebody goes and preaches, unless he brings them the word? You see, the word of God brings deliverance and healing. People need more than anything else, they need the word of God. He sent his word and healed them. healing comes through the Word of God. Knowing that there is a God who cares and there's a master physician who can come in the midst of your distress and bring peace. He can still the turbulent waters that rage around you and bring peace. There's nothing quite like going past a large body of water and looking out, and it's just like glass. Not a ripple. Have you ever experienced that? It's beautiful. And you see on the horizon there around the lake, you see the trees and all the foliage, and it reflects off the water. There's a beautiful picture we took up at my parents' place in Maine, and they have a place in the lake there. And in the autumn time, this particular year, the colors were vivid, the yellows, the reds. They were just gorgeous. And I happened to be on the porch of their lake home, and I took a snapshot. And the interesting thing, I didn't notice it at the time, but the interesting thing was, is that it was so brilliant, and the water was so calm, it caught the reflection. So you have like a double image, almost like a mirror image. It was gorgeous. And we've taken that, and we've used that, it's in several places at the lodge that we have there in Maine. And it's just a beautiful, gorgeous picture when the water is just still like that. That's what God can do for your life. Take the turbulence. He speaks peace. He smooths it all out. You think, man, I can't understand why you're not upset over this, you know. And some people get angry with you if you're not upset. Well, listen, you say, oh, well, I'm resting in the Lord. I'm just trusting God. I'm believing God. God can bring peace. It says they cried out to the Lord in the trouble. He saved them out of their distresses, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You go to verse 21. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. And then right in the middle of this chapter, at verse 22, it says, let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. There it is. You have a thanksgiving verse right in the middle of this psalm of thanksgiving. Kind of like, boom, right on target. There it is. There's the bullseye. You read through this, it goes down and gives more reasons why God's people should be thankful. Again, in verse 28, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. And then in verse 31, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Again, then there's several verses where God has intervened and what he's done. He's provided food for the hungry. And then you come down right to the end of this chapter or this psalm. It says in verse 43, who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindnesses, in the plural. Now he sees, he's recounted all the ways in which God blesses. So now it's in the plural. It says, let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Now, when you're gathered around your tables this week, I trust that you'll do just that. Why not pause for a moment? I don't know what the setting's going to be. Maybe it's kind of a mixed setting. By mixed, I mean amongst your family members, or maybe some who aren't saved, they're not born again, and they're not religious, and, you know, they think you're a kook or whatever. It wouldn't hurt to say, you know, it'd be nice. Couldn't we go around and maybe just say at least one thing we're thankful for, since it is Thanksgiving? Do you know that this is a unique American holiday? Did you know that? You know, there's some holidays we kind of share. There are holidays of independence. Other countries have that, you know. Christmas is celebrated around the world, and you know, Easter, and there are some holidays we have. But, you know, Thanksgiving is a unique. Now, other countries have kind of tagged on, and they'll have a day of Thanksgiving. But really, the Thanksgiving is unique to America. It's because of our history and the founding of our country. People have asked, is America a Christian country, a Christian nation? Well, it depends on what you mean by that. We were founded on Christian principles, and that is an indisputable fact. There are those who want to rewrite history, the revisionists, but the fact is, go back to the Pilgrims. You can go earlier than the Pilgrims. You may not have known this, but there were at least five instances of Thanksgiving that was given, the time of Thanksgiving here in the United States. In 1541 at Palo Duro Canyon in Texas with Coronado, he had 1,500 of his men, and they took and paused for a time of Thanksgiving. 1541. 1564, St. Augustine, Florida, the French Huguenots, they were Protestant colonists. they paused and had a time of thanksgiving. And then in 1598, El Paso, Texas, with Juan de Oñate with his expedition, he also had a time of thanksgiving that was spent with his men. In 1607 at Cape Henry in Virginia, with the landing of the Jamestown settlers, they had a time of thanksgiving. And then in 1619 at Berkeley Plantation in Virginia, again, they had a time of thanksgiving. So there were other instances, at least five, and there may be others, but at least five historically, that we can trace the whole idea of a time of thanksgiving. Where do you think that came from? I think it probably came from things like Psalm 107 and places in the scripture where it says you ought to take time to stop and give thanks. Don't get so busy in your routine, the routine of life, that you fail to give thanks for the many blessings of the Lord. And he could have retired a long time ago, and yet his burning desire at this age in a weakened phase, his health is not as it once was, yet his burning desire is to still give voice to the gospel message that the cross of Christ can change lives. And I want you to see this because it's our communion time. We're going to have the brethren please come forward. As they come forward, I want to sing an old hymn, just a verse and chorus to it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, because that's the theme of Billy Graham's video and also our theme this morning. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If we ever had anything to give thanks for, it's the cross. That should stand supreme in our lives. There are a lot of things to give thanks for, but the cross ought to be the central feature. That's what we're thankful for. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, let's be mindful of the various activities. Tonight we're going to have a wonderful time of fellowship and, again, reflecting on the meaning of this holiday. It's a shame that some have really forgotten the true meaning of Thanksgiving. They're in such a rush to bring on Christmas that they don't even pause hardly. It's just another meal. Don't let it be just another meal this week. Let it be something meaningful. And if you've not established some traditions in your house, this might be a good time. You do. Something as simple as going around the table and asking folks, what are you thankful for? And letting them express that. These are the kinds of things that, for children especially, will stay with them for a lifetime. Establish it in the home, the traditions, so that they can pass it on to their kids. True meaning of Thanksgiving, why we are thankful. Tonight we're going to celebrate that again. The first Thanksgiving and establishing of our country, and we'll have some fun doing it. And I know that you'll have a good time if you come. That's tonight at 6:00. Father, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. We want to be people that give thanks. We want to be people who are grateful, and we want to express it. We believe that that pleases the heart of God. And Lord, we want to please you. So this morning I pray that you would bless your people. We're going to leave from this place in a few moments, and there's somebody beyond the four walls of this church that needs an uplift. They need a word of encouragement. They need somebody to express concern. They need somebody to show that they care. Father, we can be that person. So I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Help us to spread the good news. Help us to share your love. And may the joy of thanksgiving fill our hearts and touch the lives of those who need to know you. I pray this in your precious name. Amen.